माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रजनंजन यशोदानंदन व्रजनंजन यमुना तीरावन चारियम जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जननंजन यमुना तीरावन चारियम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you. Jaya Radha Shama Sundar Radha Shama Sundar Shri Radhe Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitaya, 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 Jaya Gauranitaya. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Dev Jaya Jaya Gurudev. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Jaya Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Prabhuji Kacharya, Stotra Sudamangis, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jaya, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jaya, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from. I need my glasses. Reading from 23rd chapter, 3rd canto, 23rd chapter, 2nd verse. Vishrambhena Atma Sochena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrushaya Sohardena Vacha Madhuraya Cha Bho Vishrambhena Atma Sochena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrushaya Sohardena Vacha Madhuraya Cha Bho Vishrambhena Atma Sochena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrushaya Sohardena Vacha Madhuraya Chabho. Vishrambhena Atma Sochena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrushaya Sohardena Vacha Madhuraya Chabho. Vishrambhena Atma Sochena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrushaya Sohardena Vacha Madhuraya Cha Bho Vishrambhena Atma Sochena गौरवेन द्वमेन च शुशुषय सहृदेन वाचा माधुर्या च भो आत्मशोचेन गौरवेन द्वमेन च शुश्रूषय सहृदेन वाचा माधुर्य च भो शम्भेनात्मशौचेन गौरवेनादमेन च शुश्रूषय सहृदेन वाचा माधुर्य च भो. Anyone else? Vishrambhena, with intimacy. Atma Sochena, with purity of mind and body. Gauravena, with great respect. Damena, with control of the senses. Cha, and Shushushaya, with service. Sohardena, with love. Vacha, with words. Madhurya, sweet. Cha, and Bho, O Vidura. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O Vidura, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses, with love, and with sweet words. Purport. Here, two words are very significant. Devahuti served her husband in two ways, Vishrambhena and Gauravena. These are two important processes in serving the husband or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishrambhena means with intimacy, and Gauravena means with great reverence. The husband is a very intimate friend. Therefore, the wife must render service just like an intimate friend, and at the same time, she must understand that the husband is superior in position, and thus she must offer him all respect. A man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife, and a woman, as bodily constituted, is naturally inferior to her husband. Thus, the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife, and this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it. And thus, there will be no misunderstanding between husband and wife. Vishrambhena means with intimacy. But it must not be familiarity that breeds contempt. According to the Vedic civilization, a wife cannot call her husband by name. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name, but in Hindu civilization, she does not. Thus, the inferiority and superiority complexes are recognized. Damenacha, a wife has to learn to control herself even if there is a misunderstanding. Sahardena, vacha madhurya, means always desiring good for the husband and speaking to him with sweet words. A person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhusale Toyam Swayam Pakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sagra Samsajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna Padam, Shri Haganalalita, Shri Vishakanvitamscha, हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि परिप्रिये वंचकल्पतरूपश्च कृपा सिंधु भयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पदाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते। सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पदाय भूतले श्रीमते कृष्ण गोस्वामी नामिने प्रभुपाद से Hare Krishna. So this is a wonderful verse. But I want to talk about, not that I'm what I'm qualified about, but something that is close to my heart related to this verse. So let's start with a little bit of backstory of what really happened so far. So in the previous chapter, which is called as Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, we saw that Swayambhuva Manu was offering his daughter Devahuti to Kardama Muni, and Swayambhuva Manu, he gave several reasons for Kardama Muni to marry his daughter. And some of the reasons he gave was that my daughter is a sister of Uttanapad and Priyavrata. And he said that when she heard from Narad Muni about you, Kardama Muni, then she wanted to marry you. And she is a very suitable wife for you. And after hearing this from Swayambhuva Manu, Kardama Muni also gave reasons of why he should marry Devahuti. And some of his reasons were, one, that this was his desire also to marry someone who has given herself to Kardama Muni. So according to the Vedic marriage, this is possible. Secondly, it was Devahuti's desire. So it was Kardama Muni's desire and also Devahuti's desire to marry Kardama Muni. Right? And that she is so beautiful, who would not accept her? And then Kardama Muni says that I will marry Devahuti, but in one condition, that once we have an offspring, once we have children, I will leave and will devote my life completely to devotional service, and I will leave home. So having accepted all of that, Kardama Muni and Devahuti got married. And the end of the last chapter, it is described that Swayambhuva Manu, he goes back to his kingdom, Barhismati. And when he's going back to his kingdom, it explains this glorious life that Swayambhuva Manu has. So why are we talking about Swayambhuva Manu is to understand Devahuti, to understand the qualities of Devahuti that specially come in the first three verses of this chapter, we need to understand where she's coming from, which family she belongs to. So she belongs to the family of Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa. And Swayambhuva Manu, it is described in the last chapter, especially in the end of the last verses, that Swayambhuva Manu had a glorious life. And not only that, we know that he has a long life, 71 yuga cycles. And even having that long life, he did not waste any time. He spent all his time serving the Lord. There are many qualities of Swayambhuva Manu described in the previous chapter, and one of the qualities was that he was worshiping the Supreme Lord with devotion. that he was working on behalf of the Lord. Right? That he was speaking about the Lord. He was hearing the pastimes of the Lord. He was contemplating. He was writing about the Lord. And it is also described that he explained the Varnashram Dharma to everyone. So he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So when we look at Devahuti, Devahuti comes from a lineage of Swayambhuva Manu and also the great sons of like Uttanapada and Priyavrata. So she comes from a family where Krishna is at the center of everything. And from that family comes this Devahuti, who had wonderful qualities described in the first three verses. So I know first verse was covered in the yesterday in the verse, and now we are going to talk about the second verse. But I know when we read the purport, everyone was silent. No one followed me with the prayers also, because this purport was maybe so powerful. But I don't know if I am qualified to talk about the husband and wife relationship. So I thought that when we look at Devahuti's qualities, we can see that same set of qualities can be imbibed in a disciple for their guru. So today I'm going to look at those qualities from the vision of a guru and disciple relationship. And so to understand that, one thing that Srila Prabhupada explains that about Swayambhuva Manu in one of the purports, and he says, he explains this verse, which is Ayur Hareti Vayapumsam. He's saying that both the rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes that life for hearing Krishna Katha. So that is the mood of Swayambhuva Manu, and from that mood came Devahuti. So before we even understand Devahuti's qualities and how we can apply that as a disciple for our guru, whether you are initiated or not initiated, does not matter. We can have Shiksha Gurus, and our Srila Prabhupada is like our preeminent Shiksha Guru for all of us. We need to understand who was Devahuti serving? And who was she serving as her husband? Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni was not an ordinary devotee or an ordinary person. Kardama Muni served the Lord for 10,000 years. 10,000 years he did tapasya, and after those 10,000 years, he was able to see the Lord face to face. That was his tapasya, and the Lord was so pleased by his compassion, by his love, by his service, that he had tears in his eyes, and those tears fell into the Bindu Sarovar. And so this is significant. He was a pure devotee of the Lord, and Devahuti was serving this pure devotee. And it is described by Krishna in Uddhav Gita in the 11th canto, says, one should know that the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking of him as an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all demigods. So Kardama Muni, not being an ordinary man, he was an Acharya, he was a sage, he was a great devotee of the Lord. That is who Devahuti was serving. So we looked at Swayambhuva Manu, pure devotee of the Lord. We see Kardama Muni, pure devotee of the Lord, and Manu, also pure devotee. So these are all not ordinary people. These are all pure devotees of the Lord. Now, we may not be able to put ourselves in their shoes, but we can learn as Bhagavatam, they are on the pages of Bhagavatam, so we can learn from their example, and especially from Devahuti's qualities of how we can also serve our spiritual master, our Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru, doesn't matter, but we can serve our Guru. So we can learn from those qualities. So I'm going to explain a total of 10 qualities that Devahuti had, specially described in the first and second verse. And We'll start with the first verse because the qualities start from the first verse. I know we read that yesterday. So the first quality of Devahuti is described as Pritrabhyam Pratishthe Sadhvi. It means that she is a chaste and faithful woman. So she was chaste and faithful. So Devahuti was very faithful to Kardama Muni. Now we can apply that in our life as a disciple, that we have to be faithful and chaste to our guru. And we especially live in a world where there is a lot of distraction. Our faith is tested at every moment, especially now that we have social media, we have access to YouTube, we have access to so many things that we can come across many different theories and knowledge that is available to us, which is outside of our parampara, which is outside of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So our chastity depends on being faithful to the instructions of the parampara given to us by Srila Prabhupada, given to us by our spiritual master. So we can develop that faith by hearing, by the process of hearing our spiritual master, by the process of hearing Srila Prabhupada regularly. Because we can be distracted. Someone come to us, have you heard so-and-so person? And we can hear that, and that can we can challenge what Srila Prabhupada has given us. We can challenge what our spiritual master has given us as an instruction. So our faith, chastity, depends on hearing from the right sources, hearing from our spiritual master, hearing from Srila Prabhupada, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada is actually a great example of that. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, the whole institution was coming apart. There was so much of fighting going on, there were so many differences, but Srila Prabhupada kept his faith and chastity to his spiritual master, and he kept following the instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then eventually he was able to come to America and spread this Krishna conscious movement. If Srila Prabhupada would have distracted, then we would not have been here. So that chastity and faithfulness is what we can learn from Srila Prabhupada. So that is the first quality. Chastity, chaste, being chaste and faithful to our spiritual master, to our movement, and to Srila Prabhupada. The next quality described of Devahuti was Patim Ingita Kovida. Ingita Kovita means understanding the desires of our spiritual master, understanding the desire of our guru. So Devahuti was Ingita Kovita. She understood the desires and mood of Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni did not give her specific instructions. She understood. She knew what needs to be done. In the same way, a disciple needs to understand the mood and the mission of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains that there are three classes of disciples. The first class of disciple is one who understands the mood, understands the mission of the spiritual master and just act accordingly. He does not have to be told what to do. There's a second class of disciple whose spiritual master gives the instruction and she follows that instruction given to them by spiritual master. The third class disciple is one who has been given repeatedly instructions by the spiritual master, but they never follow. And they want to do everything on their own. They want to use their own mind to understand what needs to be done and act according to their own mind. So what we learn from this quality that separates from being the first class and maybe the third class is the Ingita Kovida, which is understanding that mood. And again, by hearing, the process of hearing, the process of serving gets us to that mood and mission. And it takes time. It takes time to develop that. It takes time to develop that kind of mood or understanding of that mood of our spiritual master. So the best example that we can think of, I mean, there are many examples. The one example, or one of the examples that I think is really good, is the example of Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was a wealthy government employee, and he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left everything, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami for 10 days, and he instructed him to excavate the places of Vrindavan, to write books on devotional service. And he did that. He went to Vrindavan. He wrote so many books. He wrote poetry. He wrote books. He established temples. And by doing that, he was following the mood and mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once when he came back to Jagannath Puri, he was reciting his drama to all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was amazed, and all the other devotees were amazed to hear from Rupa Goswami of how wonderful he was able to explain all these different signs of devotional service and the drama that he wrote. And the reason was that Srila Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is why he considered as the topmost follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only that, Srila Prabhupada also said in his Nectar of Instruction, the first line of that Srila Prabhupada says is this: the Krishna conscious movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami is a great example of understanding the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the same way, as a disciple, you have to understand the heart of our spiritual master and follow that. Follow the instructions. Is everyone with me right now? Haribo. So the third quality that we learn from the first verse is Nityam Paryacharat Pritya, which means constant service with love. So when we are serving our spiritual master, we are serving constantly. The constant service is important. Devahuti was serving Kardama Muni, and she was not caring about anything about her body, about her life. She was completely dedicated to her husband. So the comparison that the first verse gives is between the Parvati and her dedication to her husband, Lord Shiva. Parvati came from a aristocratic family, big family, king's family, right? And Lord Shiva would live under a tree. In the same way, Devahuti came from a king family. She came from Swayambhu Manu, and she was serving Kardama Muni. So what do we learn from that? That a spiritual master may not have all the opulence that we need, that we may be looking for. No, spiritual master never has the opulence. He's traveling all around the world. He's giving the knowledge to everyone. He may be carrying one suitcase with 3 pieces of clothing, and he has maybe one laptop, and that's it. He doesn't have a bank account. He doesn't have any possessions. But whereas a disciple, maybe a CEO of a company, maybe the disciple is an influencer with thousands of followers. He may be a scientist. He may be a doctor. He may have a lot of money. Right? So a disciple may have all these opulences, but when he comes in front of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada says that person thinks that he is a fool, number one. And that is the mood we need to have in front of our spiritual master, is that we have to be like fool number one when we are. So all that designation that we carry with us, all the opulences that we carry with us, everything doesn't matter when we come in front of our spiritual master. So that is what we learn, the constant. And this is not degrading for us. This is not like we have to think that this is our service to our spiritual master. And when we leave our ego in front of the spiritual master, then we are able to receive that mercy back from the spiritual master. The fourth quality that we learn from Devahuti, which we just read in the verse today, is Vishrambhena and Gauravena. And Srila Prabhupada combines those two, but these are two different qualities. Vishrambhena means intimacy, and Gauravena means with respect. So Devahuti was intimately associated with Kardama Muni, and at the same time, she had a lot of respect. Now, a lot of times we think that with intimacy, there is no respect. Now, with intimacy, there may be some informality, but that doesn't mean that there is no respect. There has to be a respect. Otherwise, if there is intimacy without respect, then it leads to offense. So in the relationship with disciple and guru, we have to be intimate with our guru, but at the same time, we have to be gauravena. We have to be respectful to our guru. So that is what we learn. And so when we say we are more intimate, but there is no respect, there is offense. But when there is more respect, but no intimacy, then yes, that relationship is good, but we won't be able to understand the mood of and the heart of the spiritual master. So both are needed, intimacy and respect. Now an example can be given of Arjun and Krishna. Arjun and Krishna were friends, and they had this great relationship. They used to call each other Sakha, they used to sleep together. But when we look at Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter, Arjun was in a lot of distress and a lot of anxiety. And what after speaking all the reasons of why he should not fight, at the end, he surrenders to Krishna. He says, Karpanya dosho pata swabhava, right? He says that, I am surrendering unto you, Krishna. Please instruct me. Does that intimacy went away between Krishna and Arjun at that time? No, that intimacy is still there. But there's also surrender. There's also this mood of getting the instructions from Krishna. So, Vishrambhena, Gauravena. And Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the different levels of intimacy that develops. And this is the intimacy between the devotee and the Lord. So, we can see from Shantarasa, there is no intimacy. But the intimacy begins from Dasyaras. And from Dasya all the way to Sakya and then Vatsalya and then Prema, the intimacy, the level of intimacy is going up with the Lord. So in the same way, we need to have that intimacy with our spiritual master and the respect. And with that, we are able to make spiritual progress and we are able to get closer to Krishna. So the next quality is Atma Sochena, means purity of body and purity of mind. So Devahuti served with purity. She did not have any ulterior motive. Does she have any ulterior motive? She does? What is her motive? Yes, but that's not ulterior though. Because any motive that is to serve Krishna or for the service of Krishna, because those are the instructions given to them. So that's not an ulterior motive would mean that there is any material motive. Then it would be an ulterior motive. So she did not have that. She did not complain, oh, Kardamuni, you're just chanting, and I'm just serving you. No, she did not. There was no resentment. So, and that purity of mind and body comes by chanting the holy name. Cheto Darpan Marjanam. It cleansed the mirror of our mind, right? And purity also means dealings with other devotees, dealings with our spiritual master. If we are dealing in a pure way, then we are able to serve the spiritual master. So wherever the disciple goes, that disciple is representing their guru from a purity standpoint, for purity in body and mind. I have many of them, so I'm just rushing a little bit, but there are a few more qualities. The next quality is damena, which is controlling of senses, controlling the senses. Rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. So bhakti means employing all our senses to the service of the Lord, right? And Devahuti's service was characterized by dama. Throughout Bhagavatam, we'll see wherever the service is described from a devotee to the Supreme Lord, or a disciple to the spiritual master, it is described that purity is, or controlling the senses is the very important aspect of it. When we are not controlling our senses, we are, what are we controlling? There is no control to our senses. Then we are trying to stay in a comfort zone, right? And we are not serving properly. So Srila Prabhupada describes this beautifully as part of Nectar of Instruction. He says, it all begins with the tongue. The controlling of the senses all begins with the tongue. He says, the tongue wants to taste it, what it wants, say what it wants, speak, criticize, gossip. So controlling the tongue and other senses basically follow from there. So by regulating, by chanting, we are controlling our senses. And controlling our senses are considered as a service. It's a service. It's a form of service. And a disciple has to control his senses to grow spiritually, to be able to serve his spiritual master. So we should look at sense control as a form of service. The next quality is shushrushaya. So far, how many qualities we have done? Let's... 6 qualities. So what are those qualities? Vishrambena, Gauravena, chastity, Ingita Kovida, just constant service, love with love and affection, Dhamena, controlling the senses. So now the 7th quality is Shushrushaya, and that's also described in this verse. Shushrushaya means with service, means service attitude. That's what it means. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described, Guru Shushrushaya Bhaktya Sarva Labdha Parena Cha. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith, offering him everything in one's possession. Prahlad Maharaj prayers. The word Shushrusha is a beautiful Sanskrit word that means the desire for service. So having a service attitude is important. We could be given any kind of service, but the one who has the service attitude will be able to do that service. Sometimes we are so much attached to one kind of service. But this specifically talks about the service attitude of a disciple for their guru. And this also means that we are giving any skills, any time, any knowledge, or money, or whatever we have for the service of the Lord, for the service of our spiritual master. The next one is Suhadena, with love and affection. So Suhada means, it means warmth, it means friendship, it means fondness. So service rendered with love is qualitatively different from service rendered out of duty. So there are 2 types of services. We can do service as a duty or we can do service as love. So first we start with duty and then eventually that service turns into love. But definitely the service rendered by love is more higher, is definitely higher. And the last one is Vacha Madhurya, which is sweet words. It means we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Anudvega Karam Vakyam Satyam Prayam Hitam Chayat. Means that our words should be pleasing, beneficial, not agitating, right? And pleasing. So Maitreya Muni highlights this quality of Devahuti, that she was using sweet words with her husband. In the same way, when we are dealing with our spiritual master or our gurus, or when we are dealing with other devotees, we should be pleasing in our speech. And it's an austerity. We should be pleasing, beneficial, not agitating. It's an austerity. It's a tapasya that is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that we have to follow. So, and it also means that we have to glorify our gurus. We have to glorify our guru parampara, our gurus, our shiksha gurus, our diksha gurus. And also on their Vyas Puja days, on their disappearance days. It's not that our spiritual master or our gurus need this glorification, but it's for our benefit. We are using our speech to serve. And when we are using our speech, we have to use our speech based on the principles of what Bhagavad Gita has given us, which is Anudvega Karam Vakyam, which is should be pleasing and beneficial. So all these 9 and 10 qualities that we just talked about, who embodies all of these 10 qualities? The best example is Srila Prabhupada. Before coming to America in 1965, Srila Prabhupada was living in where? Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar Temple, and he was writing. And I don't know if this story is authenticated or not, but it is said that he got the vision of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami blessed him. There's also a beautiful painting of Srila Prabhupada writing on his desk, and Srila Rupa Goswami is giving him blessings. So it's authenticated, right? So,
it is authenticated.
So Srila Rupa Goswami came in the dream of Srila Prabhupada. I was hesitant. I was like, I'm not sure, but I read it somewhere and I didn't find a good reference of it, but that's what the beauty of Srila Prabhupada is. Like, Srila Rupa Goswami came and he said, go, preach, and I'm with you, right? And when he came, Srila Prabhupada was 69 years old. He did not have anything. He did not have any money, right? And he sailed through Jaladuta. He had two heart attacks, right? And he came and he arrived in New York and he did not know where to go, turn left or right. He had no idea. But if you look at from an external standpoint, his mission was impossible. But what do we learn from that? He was following the instructions of his spiritual master, right? He had understood the desire, the mood of his spiritual master. What is it? Ingita Kovida. He understood that mission. He is served with purity. Atma Sochena. He's pure in his mind and body. He had complete control over his senses. In Lilamrita, it is described that before coming to America, he would not eat his breakfast because he wanted to use that money to print paper, to print Back to Godhead magazine. So he had control over his senses. He offered everything he had to his guru. He carried deep love for the souls of the Western world. Not just Western world, the whole world. Right? He had deep love, Suhodena. He had that love in his heart. And he spoke with a lot of sweetness and clarity. He spoke Vedic literature where Western people did not know anything about Vedic culture. But still he spoke with that mood of compassion for everyone, with that mood of love. And that's why he was able to spread this Krishna conscious movement. So, and at the end, he went around the world 14 times. He established hundreds of temples. He wrote hundreds of books. And he did that by imbibing all these qualities that we see from Devahuti. Right? So I want to conclude by saying Devahuti served her husband, right, as a spiritual master. Yes, we can read the purport. There's so many things mentioned about wife and husband relationship. But the key here is we need to understand where she's coming from the lineage of Manu, and she's serving Kardama Muni as a pure devotee of the Lord. And the result that we get from that is all that we will read in the next set of chapters, and I don't want to spend time in summarizing that, but Devahuti was able to go back to Godhead. She's had Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son because she served Kardama Muni. Not only that she served Kardama Muni, she also served her son, Kapila, Lord Kapila. And by serving Kardama Muni, she was able to, and with all these qualities, she was able to go back to Godhead. So in the same way, what we can learn from all these qualities of developing that relationship with our guru, developing those qualities by serving our guru with love and affection. So what I want to do is read all the 9 and actually 10 qualities that Devahuti had. So one was sadhvi, that is chaste and faithful. She was chaste and faithful to Kardama Muni in the same way we can be chaste and faithful to our guru. Ingita Kovida, understanding the desires and mood and mission of our spiritual master is important. And Nityam Parcharet Pritya, which is Pritya means with love, constant service, uninterrupted service to the spiritual master with love. Vishrambhena, intimacy. Gauravena, with respect. There is intimacy, but there has to be respect. Atma Sochena, purity of mind and body. Dhamena, doing sense control. Shushrushaya, which is having the service attitude, the desire to serve, to be that organizing principle for our life, is desire to serve. Like some devotees say, okay, I'm not able to serve, but once we have that desire, then eventually Krishna will make arrangements, our guru will make arrangements to serve. Shrodena, having that love and warmth, and servicing from the heart. And then last one is the vacha madhurya, having that sweet speech, glorification, having the honest and kind glorification and service to our spiritual master. I will stop here. Hare Krishna, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, and see if there are any comments, questions, corrections. Yes.
That's very nicely presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, we can. Oh, this is high now.
So, at least my observation is in our movement that a lot is stressed. A lot is stressed about worldly respect for the spiritual master. At least I could be wrong, but my perception. This aspect of friendship, the champagne, intimacy.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji, for the question. So should I repeat the question?
So I have the same question. Intimacy and respect, or because how much is too much?
Yeah. So the question is, in our movement, it's more respect, it's more Gauravena than Vishrambhena, no intimacy. And how do we balance the both? How do we get that intimate relationship? Because that's important. Without being offensive, yes. Yeah. So the way I understand this, and I would love to hear from others too, is I'll give you my example. So my spiritual master has thousands of disciples. So when I got initiated, yes, that time factor was missing initially. I was trying to get close, but then there were so many devotees who were close to my spiritual master, and it's not easy. Then over the years, I realized that the respect is always there, you're right. That intimacy factor may not always comes by staying close in proximity, by only doing Vapu Seva. It's because my spiritual master would always, almost in all lectures, when he talks about this topic, he would say, Vani is more important. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Vani is more important than Vapu. Vani is more important than Vapu. And it took me a while to understand that, because whenever we are close to our spiritual master or guru, we definitely feel so blissful. And we want to stay like that all the time. We want to be close. But then I understood that through service, we get more intimate. By hearing, we get more intimate. And our spiritual master is also representative in the heart. He's also in the heart. So as we understood the example of Rupa Goswami, of understanding the mood, understanding the heart of our spiritual master, by doing that, we get more intimate. And I think sometimes we lose that concept because we try to get close physically more and more, and then we become more envious of devotees who may be close to our spiritual master. And I think that is where the problem is, and I faced that problem too, and I realized that no, by just physically staying close is not okay. Even if I go once a year and see my spiritual master and get instructions, that will be more than enough. The key is, how do I spend my rest of the year serving and understanding what he wants me to do is more important, and that's how we can build that intimacy, is my understanding. But you're right, in our movement, and another thing I want to point out is that not just the spiritual master, these are Shiksha Gurus too, so we can be more close and intimate with our Shiksha Guru, who is aligned with the mood and mission and the heart of our spiritual master, our Diksha Guru. So that is another way to become more intimate, even though we may not be able to get physically close to our spiritual master. I don't know. If it helps. Yes, Mother.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking that same thing that you just said, that it applies also to the Shiksha Guru. I've heard that from Hari Parshad Prabhu. He always says that you have to have someone that you can inquire from, but you respect them, but you have to feel comfortable with them, and you should have an affectionate relationship. But I also was wanting to say thank you. Your class was very nice. And I appreciated how you took it to a kind of a different level in the applying it to the spiritual master and disciple. But at the same time, in the purport, it seemed like Prabhupada is speaking about the devotees, and not only pure devotees, but just the regular, you know. And I was thinking that in our movement as well, there is a big problem, it seems, with families breaking up, divorce and like that. So it just seems like it is also necessary to kind of see how to apply these things practically, considering, you know, how things are today. That it's challenging. It's very challenging. It's not easy because no one wants to be seen as being lower than anybody else. That's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's in our scriptures, so it's you know, it's important to see how to do that in a practical way now in our times.
Yes, Mata, thank you so much. Yeah, I did not cover that specific topic. it's a big, interesting topic. Yes, there has to be respect between the husband and wife, and that intimacy has to be there.
Hare Krishna. I just want to add about the also Gauravena and Vishrambena, with the intimacy and with the respect. So Chanakya Pandit said that in order to get benefit, you have to be not too far, not too close to the king, to the fire, to the woman, and to the fire, king, woman, and...
The wife of spiritual master, I think.
And wife, yeah. The wife.
Wife of
so this, if you're too close to the spiritual master, you'll get offense. If too far away,
yes.
you will not get any benefit. So in order to get the full respect, you have to have the proper distance. You have to find the proper distance, not too offensive and not too far away, aloof from this wife, fire, king, and spiritual master. Yeah, if you're too far away from the fire, you will not cook anything. If you're too close, you will get burned.
Yeah.
So the same thing with the king, and with this, all this.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for sharing that.
Hare Krishna. I have a question. The intimacy, the paragraph told that, right? The calling the name, the wife is calling with the name. Nowadays, they're telling that as it creates the intimacy. So the same thing applies to the Guru. I can call him so many times, the Prabhupada. So I can call with the name. So that is my question.
No, so that's different. So when we are calling out the name, say let's suppose our spiritual master, then we should always use more honor in calling out the name. So when we say, okay, His Holiness so and so, so we should give respect. So that goes to the point of that respect not only means that with all mediums we should be using the respect. And I think that's what Prabhupada has taught us. Like whenever we are sending emails or any conversations we are doing, we are always calling out the names properly and with respect. So, and whenever we're calling Srila Prabhupada, we're calling him with respect as well. So that's different than wife and husband in some ways. It's coming from our Vedic culture that wives do not call their husbands by name. I know in the Western culture it's a little bit different, but in Vedic culture we follow that principle. And there is also, most of the times, there's an age gap also between wife and husband in the Vedic culture, so that also makes a difference. So yes, so in that case, if you look at it for when we're calling the spiritual master or any guru's name, we are calling by having some honor in front of it. And whereas husband and wife is a little bit different, but also wife should definitely not be calling her husband with the name.
Yeah, but nowadays they take it as advantage and they will call it as intimacy.
That's not intimacy, that's actually, according to Vedic culture, that's disrespect. Yes, Prabhu. Please add anything, Prabhu, I'm saying wrong. Or oh, okay.
He said that the living entity is Prakriti and the Supreme Lord is Purusha, and so is
everyone is equal.
Be calling the name of his father, his husband, the living entity. Lord Chaitanya said, "No, this is not proper understanding because you should Supreme Lord is given instruction to chant his name."
So Vedic culture is really mysterious. So could the wife call the husband like, "Hey, you," because that's not the proper name?
Sure.
There are two different cases. it says one is serving the husband and one is serving a spiritual master. And well, in this case of Devahuti, husband and spiritual master are the same, I think. So what is the difference between the serving a spiritual master and serving husband in case of those?
We just compared the two. We said because Devahuti,
you made it seem like it's the same, but is there any difference?
Well, husband-wife relationship is a little bit different, for sure. But then when we talk about the Vedic culture, that husband-wife relationship, if it's like a... I mean, the thing is, wife here, wife is fully qualified, husband is fully qualified as a pure devotee. And then they are having that relationship, and she's treating Kardama Muni as a guru. Right? She heard about Kardama Muni. She heard the great qualities and all the tapasya that Kardama Muni is doing. So that's why she's serving Kardama Muni. And eventually, yes, she wants to have a son as a Supreme Lord. So in kind of a normal circumstance, in kind of like the wife may not be at that level, a husband may not be at that level. So then it's a balance of making sure that there is a proper understanding is important, right? And it's together, they're trying to serve the Lord. So there will definitely be some ups and downs, but if the principle, the main foundational principle stays that we are together serving Krishna and keep Krishna at the center of our home, then eventually things get resolved. But this is such a vast topic to discuss because there are many scenarios where things don't go the way it should be. And there's a lot of other principles that come into play. But that's the difference here. And also, as a disciple and a spiritual master, the spiritual master is at that level, but disciple is still growing in their Krishna consciousness to come to that level. So you may not see the Vishrambhena, Gauravena, and other, all these qualities together in one disciple. And slowly, as we progress in bhakti, we are developing these qualities. And then we get closer and closer to our spiritual master. Does that help? Stop here. Hare Krishna, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.